Good morning, and welcome to the Phenology Talkback Show. Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, and the show is produced by me, Charlie Mitchell. Normally, John Latimer is the host, but he is away this week, so I am helping out. Our first report comes from Mrs. Paul and Mrs. Fisher's class at Fort River Elementary School in Amherst, Massachusetts. This is their final report for the year.
Hello from Miss Paul and Miss Fisher's 5th grade phenology class. This is our last recording for the year, because June 20th is the last day of school.
On Tuesday, June 11th, the day lasted 15 hours, 14 minutes, and 25 seconds. Plus, the high was 72 and the low was 52 degrees Fahrenheit. We also looked ahead on Thursday, June 20th. The high is supposed to be 99 degrees Fahrenheit, but the real feel is 103 in the sun.
Our class has noticed that summer is starting to come. All of our trees have almost completed their year-long cycle and look very similar to how they looked at the start of the year. They have their green leaves and we don't see any buds left. We have also seen lots of fireflies flying around when the sun goes down. We have seen many more ants, including in our houses. And two kids in our class saw a spider with an abdomen that we cannot identify.
Natalia's grandma has a pear tree, and she said that pears are growing, but they're really small. Miss Paul saw her first blueberry on June 16th. Also, Lyran saw many mayflies flying around. Strawberries are coming out, and lots of people are picking them fresh off the farms. Plus, we saw many flowers growing on our sage plants.
In addition, we pulled up some garlic mustard, which is an invasive plant species in Massachusetts, with two people from the Kestrel Land Trust, an organization that is trying to preserve animal habitats. The garlic mustard we were pulling out was huge. It was at least 4 feet tall.
And that's the final wrap from the Western Mass Phenology class.
Thank you guys so much for that report. Congratulations on a fantastic first year doing the phenology program. It's really wonderful to have you guys way out there in Massachusetts. Gives a nice little reference point for us in Minnesota. Here in Minnesota, garlic mustard is also a very troublesome invasive. I've found that it's relatively easy to pull up and to eradicate as long as you're persistent. It takes a couple of years to get through the seed bank if it's successfully seeded. But if you stick at it, you can get rid of it. And I'm glad you're seeing fireflies. They always remind me of very pleasant evenings in June, just sitting out. Although, depending on where you are, the mosquitoes can be pretty bad. Our next report comes from the Forkhorn Summer Camp at Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade, Minnesota.
Hello, this is Caden, AJ,
and Cameron
from Forkhorn Summer Camp at Long Lake Conservation Center. Here is our phenology report for the week of June 9th through June 17th. The high temperature was 82 degrees Fahrenheit. The low temperature was 36 degrees Fahrenheit. There were several sightings on campus of a doe, followed closely by her fawn.
We kept an eye on the snapping turtle laying her eggs. She was in her laying spot for over 3 hours. We also saw three painted turtles, one loon on the lake, one loon on the nest, beavers, frogs, and chipmunks. Many colorful birds were noticed. Goldfish, bluebirds, red-headed woodpecker, red-eyed vireos, which were not very colorful, except for the little red eye.
A clutch of three baby robins, barely fitting in their nest, ready to fall out. Monarch butterflies and monarch eggs, tiny monarch caterpillars, were on milkweeds. Flowers in bloom, pink lady slippers, wild rose, blackberries, and blue flag irides.
We had a great week at summer camp. And we would remind everyone to unplug, get outside,
and live connected.
Thank you for that report, Longleggers. It's wonderful you got to see a snapping turtle lay her eggs. I always love watching turtles lay their eggs. And female snapping turtles are really impressive. They lay eggs from 20 to 70 eggs per clutch, so per nest. But they aren't able to start laying eggs until they're about 17 years old. The older ones tend to produce much larger clutches with more eggs in them, and they also make larger eggs, so those young are more likely to survive. Unfortunately, baby turtles are one of the main prey species for a lot of different herons and fish and anything else that likes, you know, a little protein in their diet. A snapping turtle or a, you know, young turtle is a great little snack for many river species. And that's why it's so important that the ones who make it to adulthood, who make it to a size where they can't be easily eaten and their shell can really protect them, once they make it to adulthood, it's very uncommon for an adult turtle to be predated on by almost any creature. A coyote might be able to nibble off a limb, but for the most part, if you make it to adulthood, you're set for the next 20, 30 years. They're very long-lived species. And that's what makes me so sad when I see a snapping turtle or another turtle dead on the road, is that many of these turtles are adult females, are one of the very few lucky turtles to make it to adulthood. And once they're there, they need to be able to produce, you know, 30 years of nests to be able to replace themselves. And if their lives are cut short at, you know, only 17 or 18 because they're hit by a car, that means over the long term, these populations are going to decline. So anyone who can, please go out and help those turtles cross the road safely. Pick them up. If it's a snapping turtle, pick it up by the hind legs and then hold it away from you. Other turtles you can pick up just by the back of their shell and move them across. And always move them in the direction that they're heading. Because otherwise, if you put them on the side, you know, that you think is best, you know, back towards a pond or something, they'll just turn around and cross the road again, trying to get to wherever they want to lay their eggs. And I was lucky enough to go to Long Lake last weekend for the Itasca County Rivers and Lakes Festival. I really enjoyed the chance to explore the bog. I don't have much bog in my area near Stillwater, Minnesota. And so I got to see the flowers on pitcher plants, which I've never seen before. A tiny little sundew, which is a kind of adorable bog plant. It acts like a glue trap. If you think in terms of mouse traps, the Venus flytrap is kind of like a snap trap where it grabs the insect. A sundew is kind of like a glue trap where an insect comes in and lands and then it gets stuck and kind of enveloped by the arm of the plant. And pitcher plants would be more like a bucket trap or a pit trap where they fall in, can't get out, and eventually drown. But obviously these plants are catching insects and mouse traps are catching mice. The other difference is, of course, a mouse trap doesn't eat the mouse, whereas the carnivorous plants are definitely eating those insects. So they're a kind of a mouth trap, I guess. We also got an email from Kathleen from Crow Wing Lake. She said, while at my cabin, this juvenile loon was at our dock's end. I've not seen one before and thought it was relatively large. Fun to see. Fun phonology. Fun, of course, with being a PH. That's a really cool sighting, especially since loons typically spend the first 2 years of their lives in the ocean, you know, getting large enough and ready to breed. Once they're ready to breed, once they've reached maturity, then they'll come back to areas like Minnesota. So seeing one in Minnesota is really cool. Get to see a juvenile loon. Thank you, Kathleen, for sending that note and the photo. And I'll be sure to put the photo on the web story, which should publish on Wednesday at noon. And meanwhile, on the Season Watch Facebook page, we've had a lot of good observations. Monarch caterpillars are emerging near Talmoon. They've got, you know, the first young caterpillars. It's called the first instar. They go through, I think it's 7 instars before they turn into a little chrysalis. But don't quote me on that. Their first instars are so tiny and adorable when they first emerge from the egg. Trumpeter swan with 7 cygnets was found near Bemidji. And I'll be putting a picture of that up on the website as well. Those little swans are so cute when they're first hatched. So fuzzy. Wild rice is floating just under the surface of a river near Bemidji. And there are a lot of pictures of loon chicks hatching throughout the area. And if you haven't seen a little loon chick riding on its parent's back, definitely a good sight to see. So this has been Phenology Talkbacks. Please, you know, if you are seeing anything exciting out there, write in, let us know, put it on the Season Watch Facebook page. It takes all of us to keep an eye on phenology throughout the state of Minnesota, and we appreciate your help.